Seven blessings, everybody. If you can kneel, we are at. Please do so. We're going to pray. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you. We trust you. We worship you. And we love you. We thank you for blessing us with deep desires to please you. And for guiding us with your Holy Spirit into perfect obedience. We thank you, Father, for forgiving us of our sins and cleansing us from unrighteousness. Thank you for letting us all come together again on this Sabbath and making the technology to be able to do that. So that you're blessing us the way you always do. Thank you for the trials and tribulations. There's all the good times that help us grow. And thank you, Father, for answering our prayers in regards to our loved ones that are lost and those that are sick and ill. Bless all those on our prayer list and those that help us do this work. Bless them physically, spiritually, and financially in the way that you promised. And thank you for guiding my tongue and every time that I speak to them. Only your words come forth and only your glory, God. In Jesus' name we pray. And I turned it off. And for some reason, the fan kicked on for some reason. Hold on a second, folks. We're having a little problem with the furnace. That's on. I'm going to take a couple of minutes to actually go off. All right. Are you going to be sitting here? All right. We got to go into... Okay, Josh. You know what to do. Josh is here. No, he's not. Josh is here. Okay, he has to switch computers. Okay. No problem. I'll do it then. Let's see where we're at. We're on 13. Here. And everybody should be seeing it right about now. Alright. For those of you that actually have the book, Class A events are on page 181. Letter 60, July 20th, 1893. We don't have a lot left in this book. We're on 181 and there's only 236. So we got a little over 50 pages left. Okay, letter 60. July 20th, 1893 says, "The powers of Satan to seduce and deceive are so strong, and his illusions of every kind so multitudinous, that every watchman needs now to give the trumpet a certain sound." In other words, truth is truth. That's an easy way to have your barometer on those who will come against you.
Have we got a microphone over there when you cough? You can go right into it.
So. Anyway, those that give the trumpet a certain sound, in other words, it has to fit extremely, absolutely with Scripture. If it doesn't match Scripture, then you know you're having a problem. We have to go by the truth and the truth alone, and especially in regards to the commandments, of course, because there's going to be a lot of, we'll get into this later in the sermon, but there's going to be a lot of so-called miracles going on. And the easy way to tell if these persons are, the persons that are doing the miracles are of God is just by commandment number 4. Because we know everybody already embraces, or says they embrace, commandments, 1 through 3 and 5 through 10. For some reason they have a problem with the fourth one. And we know why, but I'm just saying. I continue. It says, "There must be now no deviating from the light that God gives us at this present time. Light is constantly shining now upon many, and it is the very thing they need for this time. As the providence of God is certainly at work to bring the crisis in the closing scenes of this earth's history, there will be a power the office work of the Holy Spirit, stirring the hearts of men to unflinchingly stand at their posts of duty as a unit. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Ephesians 6:10. This has been always applicable to God's people in every age of the world, but how much more so to the remnant church, who have to meet the constant and most powerful masterly workings of the powers of darkness for this last time. Because we're having a little bit more of an attack than anybody else, of course. What is that noise that I keep hearing? It's like resonating or something?
Yeah.
Making that clear. Like in the old house where we used to live, you know, they had those the grain bins, and they got those wires on them, and it makes that whistling noise that you would hear. Them scary movies, you know, it's kind of like what's going on now, but you just barely hear it. It's very windy. All right, continuing. I don't know if you can hear it on the mic, though. I doubt it. All right, the words of the apostle, powerful, masterly workings of the... The words of the apostle come sounding down the lines to this time. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Of course, verses 11 and 12. This is why James 4:8 is so important. Now, we need to get as close to the Lord as we can. We need to have the armor of God on, because every little foothold that the devil sees in you, he's going to use if you have footholds. And he will glorify the footholds and use those, no matter how trivial they may seem at first, they will become overwhelming. Take, for example, the 501c3 thing. Most didn't realize that little, minuscule little foothold. You know? They didn't investigate and find out that you don't even have to get a 501c3 to actually stand for your church.
You got to watch the picture. I need to know if there's any problems.
Anyway, continuing, let's just continue. It says, these words inspired of God are appropriate for us. The inspired apostle continues, wherefore, in consideration of the warfare against not flesh and blood, but satanic agencies, disguised, take unto you the whole armor of God. Make your guide the word. Take it. Okay, it comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. If you don't have the faith, and you feel you don't have the faith, and you know you don't have the faith, well then get in the word. You will eventually have it. It's that simple. He does not lie. Just by reading the word on a daily basis. Even if at first it's a little difficult to understand, read it anyway. Eventually he'll open it up to you, and it'll become a joy to go in there. Because I can remember when I first started getting into the scriptures years and years ago, it was boring to me. And the only reason it was boring is because that's the way the devil designed my reality at that time. I was more interested in shoot-em-up, bang-em-up movies and special effects and all this other stuff. And I wasn't much of an avid reader, unless it was about computers or science kind of things. Or I like to read encyclopedias too, but when I was young, I know people that read novels and stuff like that, and I always thought that was, you know, a bit boring, but those novels can be very exciting. And when you finally pick up a Bible, which used to be the most exciting book because it's true to life, the things that are going on there, people are now conditioned to think it's boring because of the way life is now. Now it's even worse because the special effects today are far more realistic on the movies, and now you've got video games that are not just little white squares on a screen bouncing back and forth. I mean, the video games today are like true to life almost too. And then they got the music and everything else, and life in general. The devil makes it to where when you sit down and read the Bible, you feel it's boring. But when you start getting into it, eventually the Lord will open it up to you, and it will stop being boring pretty quickly. And it'll become something that you have to have every morning. You can't start your day without it. Going on, it says, the whole armor which is furnished The whole armor which is furnished to you in the scriptures is all prepared for you to take. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all to stand. In other words, you're not going to be judged by the lights you have not been given. You're not going to get certain attacks in your life. Simply be, like some of us are going to say, okay, fine, it's a big book. It's hard to read it all and remember it all. And the Lord knows that. And so the Lord's not going to allow the devil to take advantage of you on areas that you're not strong in if you have done all that you can to stand. I know it does say in the scriptures that my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, but that's just their fault. They chose not to read. They chose not to study. They chose not to try. If you try, the Lord will keep you. I mean, look at 1 Corinthians 10:13. You are not going to be tempted above your able. No, you're just not. It's the truth. So do all that you can. The Lord will bless it. Going on, it says, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, verses 13 and 14. Fiction, spurious interpretations of the scriptures, dishes of fables are everywhere presented for your acceptance. But great discernment is needed that the girdle should be the golden chain of truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, verse 14. Not your own, but the righteousness of Christ. This is the fortress of the soul. We may, with Christ's righteousness going before us, withstand the moral darkness and penetrate the devices of the satanic agency. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Verse 15. The inconsistencies, the unreasonable workings of the human agents stirred with a power from beneath will create in those who reverence God a holy indignation to see the truth of God brought into contempt and its advocates misrepresented and clothed in garments of darkness, false charges. Then is the very time the Holy Spirit to take possession of the human mind, and it may be made to appear that Christ is formed within the hope of glory. While the living human agents are being moved with a power from beneath, and the satanic agency seems to have full control, almost, of the world, acting a conspicuous part just before the second appearing of our Lord to take kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and ever, the two classes which are formed to enact the solemnities of the last day will be distinguished as the commandment-keeping people of God and the commandment-breakers who are inspired by the devil and his angels. The appearance is as if the infernal government has been transferred from hell to earth. The Lord Jesus will open the eyes of all who have been walking in the light, that they shall not be deceived with the pretentious spirit of those who claim great sanctity and say, Lord, Lord, while they stubbornly refuse to do the will of God. See, that it's just like, and it's not just in that area too, you can have people come up to you and say that they've got new light. And we understand new light is to be given. A new understanding. But new light does not distinguish the old light that we've already got. It can't. Isaiah 8:20 says, for the long testimony, they speak not according to this word, it's because there is no light in them. So if someone comes up to you and tells you something that you know for a fact is not in Scripture or is spoken of in Scripture as error, that can't possibly be new light. It can't. Going on, it says, Christ repeated the princely titles of Satan as one perfectly familiar with his workings and usurped authority. Christ gave the warning to be heeded and pointed to Satan's throne, principalities and powers, and spiritual wickedness in high places. But if you don't read your scriptures, you don't know everything that there is to know on how to protect yourself. You don't know all the wiles of the devil. You look in the Old Testament especially, you'll see some of the attacks and the way it affected the people. Those are our examples on how to handle things and how tricky and how crafty the devil can be. Sometimes he won't openly slam the Ten Commandments. Sometimes he'll just take certain doctrines and twist them around. But if you're in your Bible, you won't be taken aback. You won't be caught off guard. The professed Christian world is under Satan's sway. Christ calls the prince of this kingdom Satan, Beelzebub, a liar, a murderer from the beginning, the wicked and evil one, who is constantly working with the unholy and disobedient to trample upon the laws of Jehovah. rebellious chieftain signalized himself as having authority to establish laws entirely contrary to the laws of Jehovah, the living and only true God, the supreme ruler in heaven and earth. When this deceiving power is accepted in the place of light plainly given in God's word, Satan stands as their ruler. And sadly, that's what's going on with a lot of people in the world today. We understand, those of us who do read our Bibles and study them, that's how we came to a realization of what the real Sabbath is and how plainly it's laid out in Scripture that it was never changed. But if you don't read your Bible, truths like that just can't be grasped. You miss them. Because you haven't been told. How would I hear without a preacher? Or if they start hearing anything but the Word of God, either way. And a preacher is not the method by which all people are supposed to get their education. You're supposed to spark the interest, to get you in the Word. Going on, it says, the daring leader in rebellion is given by human agencies the preeminence above God. And the prince of darkness is acknowledged as their supreme authority. Because they don't have any other. Which is strange, too, because there is no absolute authority in the world today. That's one of the reasons you have crime running in the streets in broad daylight now. I mean, it's just, there's no more absolute authority. No one has, they feel like they don't have anybody to answer to. Going on, it says, the number of its angels we cannot conjecture, but his field is the world, and he multiplies himself through his agencies over his whole field, the world, conquering and actively instigating the clergy to be his efficient workers in making of none effect the law of God, of tearing down his memorial, the insignia of his honor and his supremacy. There is no lack of satanic agency. Every soul who will now evade through sophistry the plain, thus saith the Lord, and misinterpret and evade the plainest conclusions of the written inspired word will become instruments to tempt and coerce and stir with satanic spirit purpose to afflict and oppress and compel the human agents to dishonor God's law and accept and advocate Satan's legislation and revere his enactments with zeal proportionate to their blinding delusions. And sometimes if they can't get you to believe, like if you ask them to prove in Scripture or wherever, and they're unable to do so, they may use emotions to try to get you to feel for them. Or anger to try to get you to fear them. Whatever the case may be. We know about the vision that Sister White had in regards to some of the methods that the leaders would use to keep the people in the churches. They'll use sadness, they'll use smiles, they'll use anger, they'll even shove and push to try to force people to stay in apostasy. They'll do anything they possibly can. Whatever moves the human, they'll use it. Going on, it says, the world is asleep. The watchmen are asleep, crying peace and safety in the place of laboring with energy and searching the Scriptures diligently to know what all this wickedness means that has swung to such fearful proportions. They say to the wicked who are trampling upon the law of God, it shall be well with you, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily the hearts of sons of men. Hold on a second. All right, let's go to the next paragraph. It says, how can we make them consider that there are limits to the forbearance of God and that it is possible for them to pass the limit of forbearance of God as did Judas and Saul? God allows nations a certain period of probation, but there is a point they can reach and can pass, and then iniquity accumulated will receive not mercy, not longer forbearance, but an outbreak of the indignation of God and be visited with punishment unmixed with mercy. That's what the United States of America is about to see. This is a beautiful land, but pretty soon it's going to become very, very difficult to be living here because his wrath is going to fall upon this nation. But it's not going to fall upon the children of God, of course, but this nation is going to feel it. Especially when they pass that Sunday law. I mean, they got all these other strange laws with abortion and everything else. You know, they're stacking it up. The Lord is very long-suffering, praise his name. But eventually it's going to end. Going on, it says, God will arise in mighty power and show to go slow in anger. He will not acquit the wicked. In other words, they're not going to get away with anything. The wickedness of each generation is not forgotten. Each century of increased profligacy, you guys read that word, I've never seen it before, has treasured up wrath, and Christ said unto those who resisted all his mercy, all the blessings he presented to them, addressing the rejecters of his salvation. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers for the blood of all the prophets which have been shed from the foundation of the world should be required of the nation he addressed. They had the beacon warning in the jealousies and the hatred and the despising of warning and messages sent to them, and God's punishment came upon them for their cruelty. And notwithstanding all this, those who separated from God repeated the history of their fathers, and thus it is in our day. We have proof that God keeps a reckoning with nations, that there is a sum total of guilt, that although it is beyond the power of human minds to define the amount of God allows not to pass, but when the point of transgression is fully reached, when the law of God is made void, God takes account of the dishonor put upon his government, and he charges one generation with the crimes of the preceding generations, if they follow in the same evil course. Your life is constantly increasing. What can I say that will affect your soul? What can I say that will arouse our people to serious contemplation and true devotion? Think of this too as well, people that have not yet accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. Notice the long-suffering of this God. Because a lot of people think that they don't, they're not going to go to Jesus until they make their life right. They got to get everything, all their ducks in a row before they can accept, you know, before they can bow their knee to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They figure, oh, they just got way too many things, or the Lord's just not going to let me, I'm way too much of a sinner. And says, well, look at the way the government is, look at the long suffering he has on the government already. Still, this land has the blessings it does. It's, I mean, you can still see some of the things happening to try to wake them up, you know, with the tornadoes and the earthquakes and hurricanes and whatnot. But still, he is long-suffering. It's not the plague yet. But it's going to get pretty intense pretty soon. Let's see if we can do this one more here, this little one here. Manuscript 51, 1896 says, the world is soon to be left by the angel of mercy, and the seven last plagues are to be poured out. Sin, shame, sorrow, and darkness on every side. God still holds out to men the precious privilege of exchanging darkness for light, error for truth, sin for righteousness. But his patience and mercy will not always wait. The storm is gathering, the bolts of God's wrath are soon to fall, and when he shall begin to punish transgressors, there will be no period of respite until the end. He shall come forth to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain. Isaiah 26:21. Only those will stand who are sanctified through the truth and the love of God. They will be hid with Christ in God until the desolation shall be overpassed. That's amazing. That's a wonderful blessing. It's going to be difficult for us, some of us, to go through this. But at least we have the Lord on our side, and we can stand with him and have that full armor of God and have that perfect peace and not worry about anything that's happening to everybody around us. There is a way that we can permanently prevent Dennis Schroeder and his friends from coming in here. The reason I say I know it's Dennis because I tracked his IPs a couple of times, and they're all coming from Naperville area in Illinois, which is where he is. We all remember Dennis from Illinois. He used to come in. This is one of the reasons we don't put a certain name of a certain ministry in the POGM forum, because that ministry is fanatical when it comes to the original writings of Ellen White. That man said certain things to Dennis that made him go off the deep end. And this is one of the reasons we have to protect the pulpit in regards to, that's why we don't bring up that ministry name or that man. There's only one out there. Everybody knows who I'm talking about, but I'm not going to help him with the original writings. There's only one out there that does it. There is one way that we can prevent it, though, and that's to give everybody that frequents and comes to church a password to get in here. We can lock the room, and he won't be able to ever get back in. And if he does, if he gets a password one day, then boom, he'll never get back in again. But it's not going to cause any problems. We'll be back in a minute. Let me just set things up here. Hold on.